The drushes of Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shuib mentions that Shabbos Nachmu has a din of Simchas Yontif. Needs explanation what exactly this Simchas Yontif is so soon after Tisha B'Av. The Medrash says, Chet Chota Yerushalayim, Chotu B'Kiflayim, V'Loku B'Kiflayim, V'Nechamu B'Kiflayim. The Jewish people sinned doubly, and they were smitten doubly, and the Nechama, the comfort, will come also doubly, as it says, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. In order to explain this Medrash, perhaps the idea is as follows. The idea of Kefo, when someone steals something, and he tries to cover up his stealing, he doesn't steal it outright, so he has to pay back Kefo. He has to pay back double. And the Gemara says, in Bava Kamma, Ayin Tes Amud Beis, that the reason that a ganev is worse than a gazlan, because a ganev makes the fear of people more strong than the fear of God. A gazlan is not afraid of anyone, doesn't have the capacity to fear, and therefore he doesn't fear people, and he steals from them outright, and he doesn't fear God. But a ganev is afraid of people, but he's not afraid of God, and therefore he has to pay double. There's only one problem. Why does the double that he pay go to the one he stole from? Why doesn't he just pay this knas, this fine, maybe to the Kohanim, to the Beis Din, or whatever? Could be that that is part of the fine itself, that makes the fine even more intense. Because the person that he so was afraid of, the one that he made so important, more important than God, now is going to benefit from his loss. Not only is he going to lose, but the other person is going to benefit. And that makes the punishment even greater. They tell the story of the person who came to the Rav after Pesach, and he said he forgot to sell his chametz, and the Rav tried to find some heter, and in the end he couldn't, and he told him he's going to have to pour out all his whiskey and lose hundreds of dollars worth of the good whiskey. And the man thanked the Rav for his psak and told him that he's fortunate that he has a chance to lose all this money in order to mekayim a mitzvah. Afterwards, the same person came to a din Torah over a small amount of money, and the Rav found in favor of his opponent. And he began to curse and to yell at the Rav, how can he make him lose such a pittance of money? The Rav called him aside and he said, I don't understand. When I paskin something that made you lose hundreds of dollars, you shook my hand and thanked me for giving you the opportunity of being mekayim a mitzvah. And now, over a measly pittance of money, you're making such a fuss? He said, yeah, over there I lost money, but here somebody else is gaining, that I can't take. So the fact that the person loses, and the person that he was so afraid of, to steal outright, and had to cover it up, and put so much importance into what that person would know, more even important than he was afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the part of the knas is that he should have to pay that person, and that person should gain from his loss. That's what it means. They sinned with kefil. They sinned doubly. The pasuk says, Osi Ozavu, they forsook me. And if they didn't have the capacity to serve any God, and they just forsook the service of God, that would have been one sin. But they went to serve idolatry, which they had the capacity then to serve something, and they chose to serve idolatry over serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you can't say that they stam abandoned God, because the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Tes and in Yuma Tes Amid Beis that even though they were a shoyim in the first Beis Hamikdash, Samu Bitchonam Bashem, they trusted in God. Therefore, you have to say the following, that even though the ganev believes in God, but his feeling of fear is more directed towards the people he can see, it's more real to him, the fear of human beings, than the fear of Hashem. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his students. that Yirah Shamayim should be as strong as their fear of human beings. Because when a person does a sin, he's more concerned about the people he can see than the God that he can't see. And therefore, the problem of the Ganav is not that he doesn't fear God, but that he fears people. It's more real to him, the fear of people, than the fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Could be for that reason, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Vav Amud Beis, that when the astrologer told the mother of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak that her son was destined to be a Ganav, so she made sure that his head was always covered. And the Marsha explains, not that it was always covered stam, because everybody has to cover their head, but that it was covered with an extra heavy second covering, that he should feel it all the time. Because the idea was that since he was destined to be a Ganav, the idea was that he was more predestined to have a fear of things that he could see than a fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam that he couldn't. And therefore, she wanted to make the fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam more tangible to him. So she put that extra heavy covering so he'd feel the fear of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the idea, that they left the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not that they totally denied his existence, but they believed more in the causes that they could see of idolatry, more than seeing that God was the direct cause. They thought that the causes had to come through intermediaries, through secondary causes. And just like the Goyim feel that God is too removed from everything, and they need some more closer intermediaries, forces that they can see to deal with. And that's what the pasuk says, Osi Azavu. They forsook me, Mekor Mayim Chayim. I am the source of living water. And they went to dig boros, to dig cisterns, to receive the water. Meaning, they thought that they would bring God's hashpah, his influence, into these boros, into these cisterns, and use these intermediaries as means of bringing God's influence into the world. They didn't forsake God completely, but they felt that the power of the Avodah Zarah was more real in order to bring God's influence into the world. And that's what it means, Al Ozva Mes Torah Si. They left my Torah. And the rabbis say, Shelo Berchu BaTorah Tchila. They didn't make the first bracha of Birchas HaTorah. What is that bracha? Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Ho'amim. God chose us to have a direct, intimate relationship with Him. We don't have to go through intermediaries. And they thought that the path to God's influence in the world had to be like all the other nations, through intermediaries. And that, as it says in this week's Sedra, Asher Cholek Hashem L'Chol Ho'amim, God gave that as the portion to the other nations. But we have a direct relationship, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, with God. We don't need these other intermediaries, even though they are more tangible. And that's what the rabbis call Bittul Torah. That HaKadosh Baruch was willing to forego on Gili Arayah Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah, V'lo Vitar Al Bittul Torah. What is Bittul Torah? They totally negated the Mila of Torah, the great individuality that the Jewish people have, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikroim Banim Lamakom. We are special because we are God's children. We have a direct connection with God. We don't need to go through intermediaries. And that direct connection comes through the Torah. Chavivin Yisrael Shenasam Lahem Klichemda Shenivra Bo Shemayim Va'oretz. We were given the precious tool that God used to create the world, the Torah, that we should be able to deal directly with the world and directly with God. And that's what it means, Chatu B'Kiflayim. They sinned doubly. They put more importance into the tangible idolatry, the way of the Goyim, and they failed to realize their direct connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Just like the Ganav is more concerned about the physical person he can see than God himself. And that's what it means that God was willing to forego Gili Arayah Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah had they sinned and known that they were going against what their nature was, against the great Milah of Klal Yisrael. This was out of character for them. It was a quirk. Then God would have looked at it as a quirk and overlooked it. But they didn't. They thought that this was the way they should be. They were equal to all the nations of the world, and this is what is expected and is a status quo for the nations of the world. They saw that as befitting them, as status quo to them. That's why after we say vidui and mention all the terrible sins, oshamnu, bogadnu, we say, ovarnu amitzvosecho mishpotecho atovim velo shovalanu. It wasn't really befitting us to do all of this. We are of a much higher status than all of this. Recognizing that, then the sins are out of character. They're a quirk. They're not what is expected. They're not part of our character, and that lessens the culpability. And that's what it means, loku bekiflayim. They were smitten with kefil, doubly. That the loss that they had was not just a loss to them for all of the tsaras that happened, but that in their loss, the ones that they were so concerned to be like gained from them. That until then, the Jewish people were the ones who ruled over the whole world in the time of Shlomo, in the time, and now it was taken away by nations that would rule over the whole world. Babel, Paras, Rome. And that's the way that it'll be returned to us in the time of Mashiach, when again we will rule over the entire world. In the second destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, this sin was repeated. The Gemara says, Tzadikim hayu, ubalibam hayu sinas chinam. They were tzadikim on the outside. They were more concerned of what people could see. But in their heart, where only God could see, they weren't concerned. There it was filled with baseless hatred. And that is Genevas das Elyon. They basically were more concerned about what people would say than what God would say. And therefore, they were punished doubly there too. And not only was their rule taken away, that instead of them ruling over the world, it was the nations of the world that ruled over the world. But here, instead of us being the chosen people, we had Goyim who took from us and claimed to be the chosen people, the Christians. And not only that, not only were we special to be Bnei Avram, the sons of Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who Eretz Yisrael was given to specially, we had Goyim who took it away from us and claimed that they were the sons of Avram. And Eretz Yisrael was really theirs. That's the Muslims. So the punishment double, the kefil, was not only did we lose, but we had to see those nations that we put so much stock in gain at our expense what we should be, they gained. And in the future, the nechama, the comfort, also will be double. That lost love will not only will be returned to us what we lost, both physically, our rule over the world, and our special place in God's kingdom, but it will come at the expense of the loss of the others. We will inherit their rule, and we will, it will be clear that everything the Christians and the Muslims in it gave over to their children throughout the generations was totally sheker, was falsehood. Moshe Rabbeinu, so this then is the chatu b'kiflayim, and laku b'kiflayim, and nechamu b'kiflayim. We sin doubly, we were smitten doubly, and we will be comforted doubly. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked to go into Eretz Yisrael and see the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to let him go, but he told him to go up and take a look at the land. Now on the surface this seems very cruel. It's like pouring salt into the wounds. If you can't go there already, why tease him and let him see where he's going in? And we know that Aaron HaKohen didn't have to go and see Eretz Yisrael in order to tease him. Why Moshe Rabbeinu? And the truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu himself asked for two things. He said, Hashem Elokim, that Rabbanu Shalom, you, whether it's with your midah of Rachman, have mercy on me and let me go in. But even if it's not having mercy on me, the Jewish people deserve that I should go in. in order that me going in with them should make their stay in Eretz Yisrael eternal. And the Rabban Shalom said, no, not only is it not good for you to go in, you don't deserve the mercy, but it's not good for the Jewish people either, because if the Beis HaMikdash and their stay in Eretz Yisrael will be eternal, I won't be able to exile them and destroy the Beis HaMikdash, then I'll have to take out my wrath on them directly, and that would mean the end of the Jewish people. So they're not ready yet for an eternal Beis HaMikdash. So then why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu permit him, or command him, to see the land? The Kli Yoker mentions that just seeing Eretz Yisrael makes an impression on the person who sees. Being there makes a tremendous impression, but seeing it also makes an impression. In addition, the seeing of Moshe Rabbeinu of Eretz Yisrael had an effect on Eretz Yisrael itself and added to its Kedusha. So even if Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be in Eretz Yisrael physically, but at least the Rabban Shem gave him the ability, and that's what he asked. Ebrana, either let me go in physically, or Ere, at least let me see. But he would be able to see the land, and therefore, for his own sake, seeing the land itself would give him some elevation, similar to the elevation of being there and fulfilling the mitzvahs, and also it would help out the Jewish people, that the land would not become eternal for them and not be an eternal Beis HaMikdash, but at least it would elevate the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael by having Moshe Rabbeinu gazed upon it. And therefore we see from this that seeing something and understanding it already makes an impression on the thing that's seen and on the one who's doing the seeing. On Tisha B'Av we were able to see and understand what is missing. We had an understanding, and we cried, and we mourned because of this. And that brings the Nechama closer, by seeing the comfort, and seeing and understanding what's missing, and what could be, helps to make it more real, and to bring it closer. And also it gives us a greater understanding, and makes us greater people. And that's why Tisha B'Av itself is like a moed. Because we recognize the hashgacha of the Rabbanu Shel Olam and the chosenness of the Jewish people, as we explained, that was the sin and that was the tragedy and that will be the comfort. Not recognizing who we are and what we are and our close relationship to God, and that His being and His influence is much more significant than any other thing tangible that we can see. And therefore, that's the purpose of a moed. A moed is there to remind us of God's divine providence and the specialness of the Jewish people. And therefore, immediately after Tisha B'Av comes Tu B'Av. 7 days later, it's like the completion of the Shiva over the Churban. And Tu B'Av reminded us that there is continuity, eternal continuity, to the Jewish body, that the bodies did not decompose, and the fact that they could be buried shows that there was atonement, and that there'll be a Tchias HaNesim, and there is continuity to the Jewish neshama. And that's the idea, that the Jewish specialness never changes. And that's why they made the bracha of HaTov HaNeitiv after we have the idea of eating, which sustains a person. And then the Eretz Yisrael and Torah and the Beis HaMikdash and Malchus Beis David. When all of that was lost, there's still HaTov HaNeitiv. God is still there and eternally preserves the greatness of the Jewish people and His relationship with them. And that's why we make that bracha HaTov HaNeitiv when you change wine. Drink a different wine, because in Galus Shikora V'lo Miyayin, we're drunk but not from wine. And all of the terrible occurrences of Galus and all the changes, both for good and bad, always have a good eternal purpose to them. And that's why they made Shiduchim on that day, because it shows the eternal nature and the preservation and sustained relationship with God into the future. And that's why on Yom Kippur is also a yontif of preservation spiritually, that even after the Jew sins, there's still a chance for kapara, for mechila, for slicha, and for continuity in tshuva. And therefore, Shabbos Nachamu is also like a yontif. It's Simchas Yontif. What is Simcha? Simcha is being clear and having the emuna and bitachon that God is taka always involved, to feel His hashkacha more real than any other tangible thing in the world that we can see. And the Simcha, that since God is involved, we are very special and He has a special personal relationship with us. Ashreinu matov chelkenu, umanoim goroleinu, umayofa yirushaseinu. Ashreinu shanachnu mashkimim umarivim pamayim b'chol yom v'omrim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This is the Nechama. Hashem Elokeinu, God is eternally our special God. We don't have to go the way of the other nations of the world to go through intermediaries and to do what they do. And Hashem Echad, one day, that will be recognized by all the nations of the world, and all of the lies and all of the paths of falsehood that they followed in this world, all that they thought that they usurped our power and usurped our being the chosen people and usurped Eretz Yisrael. One day we will get that all back from them and receive back the kefil that we paid because of our sins in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and in the exile of the Jewish people. And that should be B'mheirav Yameinu.